And we're live. Modern Hoops Podcast, the show with the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I am your host, Greg. I'm here with the homies, Brian, TK, Leek. And we are back with another episode. I believe this is episode 43. How y'all feeling, guys?
Feeling good. Another day. COVID Invitational Finals are here. Yeah. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. We're down to two. Lakers, Heat. Are we excited? Do we? You don't care.
I'm excited.
I'm going to watch it.
It's going to be good basketball.
It's my Lakers.
It's good to know, man. Good to know.
This is the best thing I can say about them. This is the most positive I can be about them.
This is not,
it's my Lakers.
This is all I'll say. This is not a Kobe Bryant chip. I need people to understand that. This is not, like, I feel like, while Bron has had his guys locked in, I just still feel like how he's moved about this is not how even Kobe would move within this bubble. Like, I don't know, man.
You're going to have to hold that. You're going to have to get deeper
into
that.
But I've been telling T all year, just with how Bron, I feel like, has been moving since he became a Laker.
He didn't embody Kobe Bryant's spirit, but winning is winning is winning is winning. Like,
yeah, no, and I'm cool with him winning. I just don't want the media trying to twist this like, oh, yeah, this is exactly how Kobe would have, like, did it. Like, no.
I think we all know this isn't how Kobe would have did it. It's just more so the fact that we all do know.
Yeah. It's still going to be potentially a chip, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because it's not in the bag. I'll say that.
Mm.
If it's one thing this bubble has shown, that is nothing is in the bag.
Okay. All right. Every time the Lakers played, they're pretty in the bag. So they've been the outlier, but we're going to get into that. First, we got to get back into our long mini series, which is none other than what's happening in the annex of the Staples Center, which is the Los Angeles Clippers. Out of nowhere, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You got an email?
I don't know.
He knows. He ain't gotta tell us. But Steve Ballmer made an executive decision. In my mind, at least that's what I'm thinking happened.
It is
an executive decision. And Doc Rivers and the Los Angeles Clippers have parted ways. Doc put out a statement. I don't have the statement in front of me, but one of y'all gonna find it.
You mean the one that Doc made to Clipper Nation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just
like. But for those who do not know, this was Doc's eighth season or seventh?
Seventh
season. Never made it out of the second round. Lost in a 3-1 to Denver this last season, which would be his third and the most in NBA history by a coach. And he said what?
Doc Rivers' statement: thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support and helping make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goal was to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. Though it was disappointing ending to our season, you are right there, and I know what this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get here. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot, and I'm grateful for my time here.
So,
that was like the definition of general statement.
Yeah, man.
Doc Rivers is the definition of general statements.
That's so true.
So what do y'all think, man? How do we feel about Doc being let go?
Boo, PG. But seriously, like, we all thought Doc was, well, I know Leak was clamoring for him to get fired. I'm not going to say Doc didn't deserve this fire.
No, he did.
He definitely did. I'm not going to sit here and defend Doc Rivers.
I might do some defending.
The only thing that I will say is, it's hard to really put any kind of coaching game plan together when the second best player on your team is boo-boo. Like, if he's trash, I don't care what game plan you're coming up with. Like, there's nothing to help PG shooting the way he shot against the Mavs and in that final game.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing for Kawhi shooting like that in the second half. Yes, you should have played Zubac more. Like, yes, you could have did this and that in the third. Yes, you.
That don't make definitely. The ball. That doesn't make the ball go in the hoop.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Doesn't make the ball go in the hoop. I'm trying to get you out of the room.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody was going to take the shot. I was like
somebody
on the Clippers was going to take a shot. Like, yeah. It was either going to be we knew it wasn't going to be Kawhi. It was either going to have to be PG or Doc. I guess they tried to trade PG and they were like, that probably won't work.
They ain't.
Hey, Doc, somebody got to go.
That ain't done yet. They haven't stressed all options for trading.
Hey, I'm pretty sure they put calls out and they realized PG stock is at its absolute lowest.
Nah.
And they were like,
Somebody will take.
I guess we got to keep him, at least to the trade deadline.
I still feel like somebody out there, man, will take him. Somebody will.
For pennies on the dollar.
Golly. At this point, we just talked about it before the pod. Like, whenever I stress, like, trade PG, I'm not saying we're going to get anything on paper that's like, oh, yeah, bet. That's more than PG's, like, talent when we envision PG being talented. Because when we need him to be talented, he's not talented.
So how can we justify Doc's exit?
Well, how we can justify that, for one, him having the most blown 3-1s of any NBA head coach. That's the first way you justify it. You blow 3-1s in three different eras of basketball.
Bad things happen in threes.
Along with 3-1s, we've seen him blow 3-2s, 2-1s. We've seen him just blow leads within games. And then, like I said, the only thing that I'll halfway attribute, like, Doc in the way that PG played. Yes, he finished the playoffs not being able to throw it in the ocean from Trey. But beginning from the year, I told T all the time, I was like, yo, PG's jacking like a certain amount of threes that I've never seen him shoot before.
Not true. He did that in OKC, but it's okay.
But it was like, at least at OKC, he was still mixing it up. Like, yeah, he was pulling whatever he felt like from Trey, but he was mixing it up in the mid-range a little bit. He was getting to the cup. He was getting to the foul.
Majority of those were contested, but I give it to you. You're right. It was a mix-up.
I'm cool with you mixing it up. Not by much, though. It's so many superstars that they're going to end up taking contested looks, but, like, too many of his points was Trey, or I'm going to try to get all the way to the rim, and I'm not punching on nobody.
And that's Doc's fault.
What I would have liked for Doc to do is at a certain point in time, you got to tell your scorers, yo, mix it up. I'm not telling you don't shoot threes, but I just want to see you get something easy. Doc should have known from year all jump. Everybody was saying, yes, we don't have a playmaker. I get it. But the reason why I kept saying I'm cool with it was because I was assuming we were going to have a coach that would put us in some type of flow that would make up for the fact that we don't have one guy that's going to dribble that up and pass it. We always talk about the triangle offense, how that helped out. Jordan and Kobe, neither of those had a point guard that's holding that ball with 10 seconds left on the shot clock calling for a pick and roll. The point guard is passing it going to the corner. So it's doable, but it's on the coach to install a system. And I'll say Doc did not do that. Now, other players had their shortcomings, but Doc didn't do everything on his end. And he's been here the longest. He's been failing longer than Paul George has been failing.
I think this is probably one of the worst scapegoat moves.
No, not the worst. Melo got scapegoated worse than this.
True. I'll give
I'm apologizing. Like,
okay, let me not speak into an absolutes like that then. This is a scapegoat move.
Yeah.
Big time. No way around it.
For sure.
Kawhi came to play for the Clippers partially due to the fact that Doc was here.
I think he regretted that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did.
I'm pretty sure Steve Ballmer did not make this move without consulting Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure I saw it on Twitter where it said anything the player said.
Yeah, the report I did see.
I'm not going to put words in Kawhi's mouth because Kawhi doesn't talk. I'll say Uncle Dennis may have said something out loud.
No, bro, Kawhi.
But I'm not saying
he just
Kawhi.
Don't talk to the media.
I'm not
he has
saying
a basketball
Kawhi
opinion.
Said anything yet.
The report that I did see, and I wish I still had it up, was that Ballmer actually did talk to, like, various players, various coaches, and it seemed a very owner decision. As if he might have listened to the players, but he was going to do what he was going to
exactly.
do about that situation. And mind you, if I remember it correctly, excuse me, it was Doc who had told, like, Ballmer and pushed him for the trade for PG, told him, hey, don't look at it like 5 picks just for PG, look at it as 5 picks for PG and Kawhi.
Yeah.
And Ballmer's mind, he's like, you're the first person I gotta blame because I listen to you. So, like, Doc is, he has to take some kind of accountability Was it a scapegoat? Yes, because I don't think he's the most to blame.
I don't think the accountability should have hit on this level, this magnitude. And that I think that's where I am with it. Is Doc an overrated coach?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Is Doc, what's the word I'm looking for? Unable to adjust in certain situations?
Yes.
All those can be true. All those can be true. But if you look at the situation for what this was, and we look at the implosion of the Clippers, this has less to do about his coaching and more to do about guys not hitting shots and guys being soft. No way around it. No way around it. If their talent and their urgency, I'm going to say it again, matched, they still playing Lee.
Is it?
All right, it's a level to what Doc can do as a coach, and it's a level to what players can do and impose themselves on the floor. We could talk about a triangle. We can talk about a five out in Houston. We can talk about all of that. At some point, an NBA player has to go on the court and finish a game and make a play. That's why we talk about James Harden the way we talk about him. That's why we talk about Russ the way we talk about him. That's why we're talking about PG the way we're talking about him right now. That's why we talked about LeBron. LeBron was in a situation in Miami. And we're going to get to LeBron in terms of that. Eric Spoelstra did everything he was supposed to do. Dwayne Wade did everything he was supposed to do. Chris Bosh did everything he was supposed to do. Who did not show up? And that's why they lost. You cannot always put it on a coach when you're not doing your job.
Not for sure. I completely agree with that. And when you were speaking about that, it hit home because...
And I'm just playing devil's advocate because we always
agree. It's not even necessary. I wouldn't even call it devil's advocate. But the first thing I did think of is like, yes, we can call Doc Rivers this and that of a bad coach. We can criticize him, blah, 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 blah. He had his team up 3-1. With double-digit leads in every single last one of the games that they lost in that on the Nuggets 3-1 comeback. There's only but so much I can put on that coach. You know what I mean? I'm going to put...
You get some.
Yeah, you definitely get some.
Maybe you should have called the timeout here and settled it down.
Something.
Maybe you should have called the set here or in the third. At some point, but I got two stars on the court.
He had him up 3-1.
I got three... top scorers. My three top scorers numbers all plummeted in the last minutes of four games in a row.
Nah, and this is the one thing I do want to say for everybody out there that's killing my man Kawhi Leonard. He only played bad two of those second halves. It wasn't even just, it was two games. It wasn't even two full games. So, like, two second halves that he was bad. Because that first half of game seven, he was okay. He was rolling.
He was okay.
He had about, like, 14, like, it was like, all right, you're at like, take it to another level the second half. So,
Kawhi had two bad games in the series, game two and game seven.
Yeah.
Those are the two bad games. Paul George actually had some good games.
He did. No, it was just his game seven. His seven was so bad along with Dallas that we actually forget.
So, here's the thing. Doc Rivers gets hit. Like, Doc Rivers had to take the blames for game five and six. Game seven is Paul George and Kawhi.
Correct. I'm fair enough
like,
for that.
5 and 6 was on Doc because he made many bad coaching moves.
He did
moves.
Some stupid stuff in Game 7, like randomly throwing in Reggie Jackson.
But I think at that point, he kind of sensed what all of us were sensing when we were watching on TV. You saw the meltdown coming, and at that point, I think he panicked.
And we cannot win a championship with a coach that's going to panic.
I agree. And I said all that at the beginning.
I would say the players panicked well before he decided to put in Reggie Jackson.
I agree with that. But the point going back to Doc is if you're the coach, you can't panic. If you're going to be the championship coach, you can't panic.
Mind you, Doc has hands on the coach and basketball operations.
Not
anymore. I'm saying
he doesn't have full control anymore.
He does have big influence.
It was like two, three seasons, he did take a step back.
He still has Lawrence big Frank. Influence in it though. Even the story that came out today, it was like, Lawrence Frank and him were on the phone all day talking about Kawhi and PG. Like, before that deal was made.
Yeah.
Like, Doc had big influence on everything that happened in that organization still.
Nah, so it's just like...
Going back to Doc, the thing with Doc is, like I said, 5 and 6 on him, game 7 is on Paul George and Kawhi. Mm. Doc's biggest problem wasn't so much what happened in the playoffs. It was everything preceding to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like I said, going back, it's everything I said that was going to happen at the beginning of the season.
The culture of it.
Culture of the team was going to change, and Doc could not get it back.
And
he could not put in a system for the offense to work.
I will say, though, I could just see how Doc was handling it. Like, as a coach, depending on the type of coach you are, like, you have to be able to come in and let them know, like, look, y'all, like, this is still how we're going to move. This is still the culture that we are going to have.
Exactly.
Like, everybody on that team understood, like, and everybody tried to just be like, oh, it was load management. That's what messed it up. No, at the end of the day, a coach has to come in and be like, look, y'all, only two dudes in this basketball circle had championship rings. Mm-hmm. Myself, this player. He is legitimately hurt. He only has X amount of prime years left. We need to make sure that he's there when we need him there. And while we're getting ready for that point, he's going to make sure he's ready when it's April and May and June. So I need to make sure that y'all are ready as well. And I will say, I felt like Doc did not hold the supporting cast up to that point. One thing that I always saw, I used to talk to T about it with the very first time, matter of fact, they played Denver. This was like Paul George hadn't played that day. And they were close until they had put Trez in. This was, I think, the Clippers that played Denver in Denver. And the Nuggets just went on a run. This was like a January game. And that was one of the first times where I was like, oh, I don't know how Trez specifically is going to do against the bigs that we're going to, the 3 to 4 bigs that we're actually putting this team together for.
Right.
I knew, I was like, yes, he will get 18-9 against the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets and the Wizards and the Magic and pretty much anybody that wasn't in the bubble. He was going to do that. But I was just like, yo, why is Zoo not getting the minutes that he's going to need in the playoffs? Never got them in the regular season. And he didn't start playing Zoo the proper amount of minutes until we were in, like, game 6. And every single time, not only that Denver series, that Dallas series, whenever, it just seemed like he would refuse to realize that Trez and Boban on the floor against each other is not a good matchup in any shape or form. So it's more than just that, like, those are the things that finally came back to bite us, but we saw, I saw this from just watching the Clippers day in, day out. And then one thing that I say, even just playing Trez, one dude that got really froze out that game that we all forget about and why we kind of don't laugh at him in the moment, Marcus Morris didn't even get minutes like that in game 7. It got to a point where Doc was, yes, we have depth, but everybody knows in the playoffs you cut your rotations.
Right.
He did not want to make that hard cut and say, like, yo, like, Trez, I know you're the sixth man of the year. These first two series, you might play 12 minutes a game. I'm sorry. He didn't want to say that. He kept trying to play 9-10 guys a game, and you can't do that. Nobody has a developed rhythm. Nobody knows what exact shots they're trying to hit. And when we're in the semifinals and up, I got to know what I'm expected to do every night if you want the best of me. So he had to go. Because it's not like, if this is the only thing he ever did wrong with the Clippers, that's one thing. All of Lob City.
I can't blame him for all of Lob City.
But think about how long they were together. Think about how many times you've had all NBA guys and how many all-conference, like, how many conferences.
They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of things that didn't. Like I said, Doc, once again, I've been on the record saying Doc is slightly overrated as a coach. I've said that from jump.
Now, he's looking very much overrated now, right?
No, I believe he is. I said at the beginning of the season, I'm standing by the statement. He is slightly overrated as coach. He's a good NBA coach. He is far from great. But I can't blame him for everything that happened in Lob City.
But I just think he had to go. I'm gonna
just
be
like, once again, I can't blame him for everything that happened in this playoff. No. Once again, players didn't hit shots. Absolutely. Some players didn't play hard. Absolutely. I think all that at some point does bounce back on Doc, though, because he didn't put in a system. He didn't establish a culture. It's like, it's I always say it's a two-way street. Like, if your coach doesn't lay the groundwork, how do you expect anybody to build
any
of
the other
it?
Players? Yeah.
I looked at it, and I was in the mindset they could have ran it back, even with Doc, because I think it would have, the wake-up call would have been more so on the players.
What's the definition of insanity?
It is. Literally, had we ran it back, it would have been insanity, bruh. That's why I think said I hope so.
I don't know.
Why do you think I said the whole like Kodak thing? Like, oh, we run it back. That would have been my vibe, the vibe the whole year. I hope we do better, but we would have been insane and we would have had no shot.
Like they would brought back. They pretty much would have brought back almost the exact same roster, maybe minus Trez.
That would have been
Lou Williams is now 35.
We got to get them both out of there, bro. We got to get them both.
Like,
out.
I think running it back would have literally been the definition of suicide. It's you. It would have been a lame, unless Kawhi Leonard literally just turned into that vocal leader magically over the offseason. What's changing in that locker room? You still got Pat Bev running his mouth.
Paul George
is gonna be Paul George. Kawhi is gonna be Kawhi. Low management still. Nothing. It's literally the exact same problems you had. And Doc Rivers is now pretty much a lame duck coach because everybody walks into the season knowing if we don't win the title, everybody's out of here. Kawhi's last year. Like, there would have been so much more pressure next season. And granted, there still will be. But, like, if you literally just ran back the entire team, it would have been so much more pressure for them to win next year than it was this year. Because it was it.
They got to find, like,
so a break. So, does the – I don't think the pressure is relieved at all. It's do you not. Think, do I you think there's the any – do you think there's any less pressure?
No, it's still the same amount.
Due to the firing of Doc? Because I don't.
It's the same
Game pressure. Game 7 still happened. I was just and that's to say, the that's the whole point.
Because of how they lost, that pressure is still there. I understand if it was – if you go out against the Lakers and you make some moves, or even if you lose to the Nuggets in a different way, I don't know. You can make something shake in terms of, like, pressure and the feeling.
Right.
I think if they lose in the second round again, I can see Kawhi rocking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, if they lose, like I said,
if they lose in the finals, I think Kawhi's rocking. Honestly.
I got to see how everything plays out from here to then.
I think Kawhi's just going where the bag is.
What I mean by when I say pressure, what I mean is if you put a new coach in place, especially somebody who has pedigree, or has a ring, granted, we're going to talk about maybe who could replace him.
Right.
But if you put somebody in place who's been there, done that, who's done it more recently, case in point, maybe Tyronn Lue, like...
He's not the one.
I agree with you. But I'm just saying, if you
That's Doc Jr., if anything, bro.
I agree with you. But I'm just saying, if you put somebody else in place, at least when the moment comes, when the rubber meets the road, especially if they make the necessary adjustments during the season, like I said, let's say they make a move here or there, they switch up, maybe they trade Lue or whatever the case may be. When the rubber meets the road next time in the playoffs, instead of everybody looking around going, oh, this is exactly what happened last year, now it becomes, okay, there's a little different vibe now. The coach is different. We traded some guys. Like, now we can all look at each other, okay, this is different. Yeah, we're in the same spot, but this is a little bit different.
If Kawhi and PG are still on that same team, I don't think the majority of the public is going to view it that way.
The public? No, I'm talking about the guys in the locker room at that point. Like, as a team, you
you're
have saying, to
Oh, you're talking about in terms of, like, them saying
that. Has to believe that.
So I don't you're know saying about if that. With a new coach, they would feel better about the
like I said,
new
I still
year?
Think they would have to make a few moves, like I said. I still think they got to make a few moves here and there. But I think the team itself would believe. Because I think at some point, they stopped believing Doc. Like, they stopped listening to Doc. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest things one of my high school coaches ever told me is, like, at some point in every season, players tune out their coach. It doesn't matter what level you're on, high school, college, whatever. At some point in the season, players tune you out. The question is, did you install enough knowledge beforehand before they tuned you out to get you through the season? That's what needs to happen for the Clippers. They tuned Doc out way too early, and they thought they could coach.
He didn't put enough in.
And he didn't put enough in to begin with. They need somebody who's going to come in and change that.
All right,
Chauncey.
My memory may be a little fuzzy.
Go ahead.
But didn't the Tar Heels lose? Was it the Final Four or national championship?
Which one? Which one are we talking?
We're talking about trying to be a better coach, and we're bringing up Roy Williams.
We're definitely not going to disrespect Roy Williams.
We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it.
I will.
Doc, compared to Roy Williams, you're going to cut that out.
Exactly.
Let me get my let
Roy
me get
might
my,
be
let
the
me get
only
my,
coach I'll
let
pick
me get
over
my
Doc.
Example across. You're let me get my like, example across, bro. But
Doc
can't
wishes he had Roy Williams right
I
now.
Can't you should hear Taman and
I can't recall.
Roy
I cannot recall the situation.
You know,
I cannot
like
recall like
my
in
team.
Terms of where they actually lost.
Uh-huh.
But the year before they won the champ, I want to say it was 2000.
Yeah, they beat Gonzaga. They lost to Villanova the year prior. Are you talking about that? It was recent.
Which team was it? Was it the
Marcus
it was,
Page?
It
was on
happened
all them
twice.
Teams.
It happened twice because it was the Marcus Page team and then with the Felton team. So
or
I
was
think,
it the Hansborough team? Because the Hansborough team lost in the Elite Eight or Final Four too, and then they
all won. I'm saying is there have been situations where a team, the core, stayed together. They took a L.
Yeah, you're talking about when Carolina lost and they came back the following year and won, correct?
Yes.
That is when they lost to Villanova on the Jenkins on the shot, but they came back the next year
yes.
and beat Gonzaga.
Thank you. There's been situations where that has happened. We've looked at moments where like
college is so different from the pros though.
I gotta agree.
Even if it's different, the game is the game.
Facts.
We're still hooping. And we can talk about moments where we can look back and say, what if we did this better, if we did that better, da-da-da-da, or another third, we can redeem ourselves the next season. That could have been this moment. And that's all I'm going to say. That could have been this moment. Players could have looked at themselves in the mirror and said, we missed it. Let's get it right. We tuned out Doc too early. Let's get it right. Like, all down to third. All that could have happened.
I agree with you because I've been saying it ever since.
And once again, I'm playing devil's advocate because once again, I think he should have been fired. I'm just trying to give us some context.
The running it back thing. Me and Lee had talked about this several times, and I said, man, like, I don't care what you do. Even if you make all the changes in the world, you still might have the same percentage to win as if you're just running it back. My biggest thing about all of this is when you brought up the core coming back and playing again or whatever, I agreed it was just more so in the trust that now that you will have in PG, because now the chemistry is completely like wonky. Like, we've heard the rumors within the locker room of how guys view PG. Some of the role players think they're as good, if not better than him.
I think
him.
That was such cap, bro. I think that was so cap.
But this is all the stuff that's been said. And then we see like the Trez thing, even though it's trying to get like buried, like he says like, yo, something along the lines of like, you're not ever accountable. Like, you're never wrong. Stuff like that is indicative of somebody's character. People rolling their eyes when you're trying to give a speech and you're supposed to be like one of the stars on the team and they don't even want to listen to you. You're talking about tuning Doc out. Now they're also tuning the second best player on that team out. So
that happens in every locker room.
In terms of
at that level, you should know, like, if at that level a MVP candidate speaks in your locker room, you should want to hear what he has to say. So if dudes are laughing, that shows like the control that he has.
But that, my point is not that there's a lack of, yes, there's a lack of respect there for PG when he talks.
PG should have people lack respect for him.
Nobody's questioning that. Yeah.
Let's not act like we're doing Paul George wrong right now.
No, we're not. I think we're going a little bit softer than what we should
be. Yeah.
Even if that's the case, everybody still took the L together.
For sure.
So we all got to go back to the mirror and look at ourselves.
For sure.
And I think that's what could have happened. That could have happened. PG still is the talented player. The only thing we hate about PG is him going out soft. It has nothing to do about his talent. Right? Sure.
But I think I just want to make sure we're
clear on that. This has nothing to do with PG's talent.
I was talking to Lee. I was like, yo, whatever you get back for PG, you're not going to get the same talent back. Like, as you mentioned earlier,
I know that, but I say I don't care.
So if PG looks himself in the mirror and says, and watches that series and says, I went out soft, I let everybody down, and then he rewinds and says, this is what I said in the locker room.
A lot of people now have the firm belief that PG won't do that. That's not the type of person PG is.
Any 30 now?
I mean,
it goes for all players in that locker room. And I think that's where I'm coming from.
But sometimes the thing is, sometimes a player just ain't got it.
Yeah, bro.
How long have we been saying, like, we literally talked about before the power, James Harden. He choked the first time OKC went to the finals. Everybody was like, oh, man, it's his first time.
Nah, foreshadowing.
No, finals. In the NBA finals. 2012.
Oh, man.
Like, very first finals, he was. Yeah, that. and everybody wants to do that. Hey, then, no, he choked. He was, of the three stars, he was the one that played the absolute worst on that team.
He was garbage.
He was garbage in that final. Exactly. And that's what everybody does. Well, he was young.
He was garbage.
And then guess what? It looked like that was a thing, and then we watched the next 10 years of his career, and it's like, oh, no, that was foreshadowing. That's who he is.
Same all I'm going to say about PG well, is like what us. Happened last year same and the year PG. Before and the year before that. And like
he
at
lost
certain
an
point,
elimination game to DeMar.
Once again, this is a PG talk and we fired Doc Rivers. That's all I'm going to say.
But
this is a players conversation we're having, but Doc gets the cut.
Nah, and the PG reason Doc got the cut is because guess what?
He can't change PG?
No, because he chose this year. So. He could not handle that roster.
How am I supposed to change a 30-year-old man?
You said what?
How am I supposed to change a 30-year-old man?
Bro,
he could not handle
the
roster, Greg.
Yeah, I think
my dad gave up on changing me at 15. There's no more changing you after a certain age.
You're a good dude, Greg. You're a good dude. Like, I wouldn't. PG's not. He's not. Whoa. I'm sorry. Like, whether we're going to talk about his character off the court or we're going to talk about his character on the court, there are multiple reports of him not being a decent human. Yes, I'm on record saying that because it's on record of what he has done.
To teammates.
He's reportedly a very
and coach's
nice
daughters.
Guy,
he's a nice guy, but like,
but
and there's
some,
there's
he
a
does
lot.
Some grimy stuff. He has
do nice
stuff.
Guys do grimy stuff?
Consistently.
People make mistakes.
People make mistakes.
I don't know. I
Paul George
heard,
just wants to fish, y'all. He just
nah,
wants to fish.
Nah, bro. I always heard, like, you are who you are when nobody's watching. And apparently, when nobody's watching, we've got to see what PG is. And when the world is watching, we got to see what you are, too. And none of them are good. So I'm not going to sit here and just be like, oh, you know what? You can't change a man, blah, blah, blah. Doc, yes, once, you did get fired for not being able to influence PG to not be a punk. Yes, you got fired for that.
You got fired because you couldn't realize the flaws in your roster and work around it.
That was the more PC way of saying it.
No, I'm just saying, I said from jump, the roster was flawed. And Doc Rivers never found a way to work around those flaws. That's why he got fired.
I'll say that, like I said, at the end of the day, like, great coaching is then when you figure out, like, this is what I have. Like, how can I, with what I have, how can I make that work the best?
Right. Maximizing what you have.
He did not do that.
Doc did not let PG know.
He did not even come close.
We want to talk about, like, players and guys playing in the league. Doc did not. Nobody on the Clippers roster let PG know that his cup game was super weak this year. Nobody let him know that.
There was no accountability on the Clippers this year.
Like, the fact that Doc Rivers thought at some point in time what this team needed was Reggie Jackson should tell you all you need to know.
See, at the time that even when we signed Reggie, I honestly thought, because people forget, when they signed Reggie, Pat was hurt. I honestly thought, this was, mind you, January, so nobody even knew what COVID-19 was. I was like, okay, we're just getting him just to get us through April, and then he's not going to play.
We did. I mean, America.
We knew.
We knew.
We just shut our eyes.
People ignored it, but that's the whole political
conversation.
That's the whole,
yeah. Go ahead, basically, I was just like, he's just going to hold us down through April. Win a couple of games in February on a 4-game-and-5-night trip against the Magic and some of them random games. And then the moment it's April, Reggie don't play and he keeps his warm-ups on. I didn't actually foresee Reggie Jackson in a game 7.
Yeah,
I did not see that.
But once again, going back to the whole thing of like culture, like Reggie Jackson is somebody who's on record of being a nuisance in the locker room when he's not getting his way.
And he's PG's man.
And he's PG. Like, you brought somebody else in the locker room who's another headache and you're like, I guess we'll just figure it out, guys. We got depth, though. We got depth.
Doc came with this very AAU-like. They literally played like, you know, okay, so there's AAU mobs that, like, aren't sponsored. Shout out to the unsponsored mobs because I came from
that.
Team
Richmond was good.
Shout out Team Richmond. Shout out Higher Level Sports from up in Northern Virginia. Facts. They're more local kids, so they're going to be together multiple times during the week. Mm-hmm. The good teams, or the sponsor teams, excuse me, because not all sponsor teams are good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had to rephrase that. The sponsored programs that
sponsored and successful ones.
No, I'm not going to say successful.
Just sponsored.
There are some
just the kids that's coming from all over the place.
There are some unsuccessful sponsored programs. I've seen it. The teams with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour behind them, because they usually get kids from not right in that area code. They only practice on the weekends. You can usually tell which teams are those by how they play. And the Clippers were ran like a sponsored mob that only got together 2 times before April, maybe 3.
Dang.
And that was it.
And it wasn't even a real practice. It was an open gym.
Yeah, we know that type of AAU practice.
It was the type of AAU practices LeBron and Kendrick Perkins had together.
So let's get to it. The job is open. Reports are Ty Lue.
Jeff Van Gundy.
His agent is amazing.
Yeah, he is. He's working. He's working.
Me and Brian were on place. We were playing. I was playing 2K.
I was playing PGA.
And I was like, bruh.
Don't judge me, Keith, playing PGA. It's fun.
I was like, bro.
Oh, I thought you said GTA.
No, I said PGA.
He was golfing.
Sure was. I was 9-under that day. Won it on a birdie putt, baby.
I'm weak. Dang, see, I'm imagining that. Like, in 2K, you lose automatically. But you won't beat me in ones. But, like, I'm trying to think in golf. Like, as soon as you lose, like, let's go to country club right now, bro. Like,
let's go to putt-putt. See, you really got
like, what?
It's teed up right now, dude. 3 hours. You got
lose
3 hours
at Top Golf,
hand.
You gotta go to putt putt.
Yeah,
that's sick. Oh man, but I was like, why is Van Gundy always being mentioned?
The funniest one was Phil Jackson.
Somebody said that.
Somebody legitimately reported Phil Jackson.
That's fake news.
Oh, it was definitely fake news. But the fact that it even came up,
I want to talk to whoever picked up the funniest thing. I want to see whoever picked up their phone and who's trying to spread that venom. Bro,
it was
that's
so
sick,
funny,
bro.
I'm not surprised.
And the funniest part was all the reactions. Somebody was like, y'all really think Phil Jackson, who is living his best life, smoking the best stuff right now, is going to risk his reputation for PG?
He's 70 plus, bro. Come on, dog.
He's good, man. He's good. Let my man live.
He's chilling.
He's zened out.
So we don't care about the front runners. Who's the best fit for this job?
Dave Fizdale. Ooh. You're going to need a vocal guy because, like I said, Kawhi is not going to speak. He's not going to be the rah-rah. He's not going to Tim Tebow this joint.
If Fizdale don't get this right, he's not getting another job for a long,
that's
long,
fair.
Long,
that is,
long,
and I do.
Because Fizdale is on the board of
anybody. The Knicks did him wrong because he did
he
good
wasn't
in Memphis.
That good in Memphis.
Nah, that the Memphis joint, because he was only there for like 2 years, and as and it's soon not, as the not, second year happened.
I agree. It's for me, I understand. It's not fair. It's not fair because you gave him two situations. The Memphis situation was...
He did good that first year.
The Knicks
situation
is the Knicks. We ain't got to say what's understood does not have to be explained. And looking at this, that would be what? This is the third strike, right?
This would be, yeah.
This would be third.
If in theory...
And you know how they treat black coaches.
My man has a 34% win percentage.
Bro, but I will say this. At the end of the day, like, whoever is going to take that job, you got to understand, like, this is not no, like, development job. So
oh, yeah.
you need to come prepared. Like, this is the expectations. There are some
tell Paul George on day one, it's championship or bust.
There are certain jobs out there where, like, you hear about, like, they might.
Bust. Yeah, if Doc didn't tell him that on day one, he should be fired. I can't even kick it.
Honestly, but
I wouldn't think you have to tell PG.
You shouldn't have to tell him, bro.
That's my whole point, Greg.
I've been lobbying.
You should not have to tell him.
I'm sorry, Keith. I'm not going to lose faith. I'm not going to lose faith in Ballmer that Ballmer won't give up on trading Paul George. I'm not going to give that hope up. I'm not. I feel like at the end of the day, Ballmer will be like, F everybody, Kawhi, me, and Lawrence Frank, we going to be here to the end. And I'm down for that. Because all three of them dudes have earned their spots within the Clippers organization.
For sure. Within the league.
I don't think people give Lawrence Frank enough credit for
what he... You know
what?
I did in the beginning of the year, but he's the big time.
For just,
he's the
and big I mean, time you, guy. You got to think about it. Like, the only time we've seen the New Jersey Nets in the NBA Finals, who was their coach? And think about how that long ago that was.
Yeah.
So like I said, I think I would not mind Ballmer being like, yo, we're the three people that win, lose, or draw with this Clipper organization. Like, we're going to be here.
Okay.
Jerry West.
Well,
Jerry West,
he'd be
a revolving door kind of guy.
Yeah,
he hang out.
But he's not going to ever kick Jerry West out. Jerry West will choose to leave before.
Jerry be like, you know what?
That's what I'm saying.
Even his role, he's just a consultant for them, a.k.a. Jerry, should I do this? Yes. No. That's it.
I agree. I'm just
wired check.
Jerry can pull up in Lakers practice.
Oh, man,
still,
I want that job.
Like, Jerry can do some consultant work for the Clippers and then still pull up in a Lakers practice that day if he felt like it.
For sure.
So it's not
in
like
the same building.
Jerry
freaking West.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, he'll just leave if this is getting too bad. He's like, yo, y'all are tripping. Y'all are doing way too much for me right now.
Yeah, let me go back over to the real team.
Yeah.
People who own this building.
Yeah, the landlords. Yeah, they're still
the Clippers are still the tenants.
The Los Angeles landlords.
So
and the
Dave
LA tenants.
So he's got Dave Fizdale.
Dave Fizdale.
Bro, I went through the list of available coaches, and like I'm firmly in my head just at the belief that I really don't think anything's gonna help the Clippers at all. I think they're gonna get knocked in the second round, regardless of the moves they make next year.
That's another
wow. That's strong.
Unless we trade Paul George.
Again.
Y'all would have to do something super drastic.
Hey, bro,
I trust
in Ballmer and Franklin, bro.
But, I mean, like, we got the two light-skinned assassins coming back. The Nuggets only going to get better. LA's still going to be there.
I'm afraid of Dallas.
Dallas is now going to be stuck. And they probably might make a little subtle move to try to get better.
They will. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the Dallas Mavericks.
Like, the Clippers ain't all.
I really hope they get Oladipo.
Bro,
that'd be tough.
Even though I kind of want them to wait on Giannis, but I really hope they get a little.
Here's
Depot.
My question, and I've been thinking about that this whole time with them going after Depot. I've been saying they need somebody else to handle the ball with Luka, but do you think he has enough in his body to play the defense that you need? Because you don't need to put another ball handler next to Luka if he's not going to defend. Because now we got two dudes.
Oladipo's always going to play defense.
Huh?
I think Oladipo's always
going to
play.
Is it
going
to be enough? Are you going to put him on a Western point guard one in the playoffs?
Yes.
Really?
I
think it's more so a health situation. If his body holds up, he's solid.
Yes.
You'll put him on.
If his body holds up, he's solid.
As somebody who was guarded by Victor Oladipo, I trust him on any Western Conference point guard.
But we're talking about,
I don't care.
We're talking about
Saw it up close. Big locks.
I know, but
care.
Even still, that
Brian, I'm gonna be real with you. You're not even Seth Curry.
I agree. I am like, far from an NBA
ball
player.
He just said your first step is not even like that, dude.
I am not anything close to an NBA ball player. All I'm saying is I know Vic's mentality. Vic, if he's healthy, he's locked.
Yeah. I'm not doubting Vic's mentality.
I'm not doubting the body situation.
I was thinking about his health as well. Because he was not, like, the Vic that we just saw in the bubble, I would not trust guarding Jamal Murray, like, other starting ones
that,
in the West.
I'll give that Vic a pass. Like, even though he was just coming back, so he really wasn't in the best shape.
Yeah, he looked that bad.
So
it was just from a defense. Like I said, I'm not going to judge him and be like, oh, like, nah, he can't carry load. Not good. Because, no, if he went to Dallas, he would not have to carry the load at all.
But if I need – the question
I just
is,
need you to guard the other team's one because we got to hide Luka. We got to hide Luka.
That's what I need you to
do.
They're
be healthy.
They're not giving up Seth Curry either.
No. Seth is there.
Exactly what I'm saying. Like, you have to guard somebody.
Yeah. I trust him.
If he's healthy,
he can, that is a great pickup.
Phenomenal. Anyway,
so no, you doesn't matter to you. It's a roster problem.
I think this was just hands down their best year to get it. And I just don't see any feasible moves being made that puts them in the position that they were in this year.
Okay. B?
I'm kind of, I'm not going to say I'm with Tamon. I don't know what.
Striking in the stats. Huh? Keep striking in the stats.
I'm with Tamon. Like, I don't really see any. There's no coaching move they make that, like, makes them way better.
There's no championship. No championship at the end of the day is won in the offseason for one.
Oh, that's big facts.
Aside from when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, I think that was the only time a championship was won in the summer.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the only time. That and maybe when the Celtics at first got together. I think those may have been the...
It wasn't a foregone conclusion.
Right.
We all initially...
Like, we knew they were going to be great.
We knew they were going to be great, but like at the same time, none of those guys had ever won before. So
But that's what I'm saying. The only other time really we can say...
Yeah, like, I'll get a KD Warrior
I'm
one.
With you.
So I'm not tripping off... There's no coach that's going to be like, oh, yeah, like this coach, good. This move, good. Like, no, it's going to have to be... Majority of this is going to have to be like, yo, y'all going to have to dig deep... Go through this whole process again of regular season, whether we're in or out of the bubble. Get through a tough first round opponent in the West because it's going to be tough next year still. And y'all are going to have to get back to that second round. And that's when y'all are going to have to dig deep. And like I keep saying, I think Doc was just a step in the right direction. But in all honesty, I think at best, if we keep Paul George, at best, maybe there's a random world where we snuck into the conference finals. Maybe there's a random world, but, like, we don't win a championship with Paul George. I will say that for sure. Kawhi Leonard, like, he will go for 30-whatever. He will not get another championship ring with PG next year because, like, there are going to be some days where it's going to be, like, a game five and you're just going to need to battle it out. You might not be hitting shots, but we need you there to battle it out. Get us a stop. Get us a couple tough
buckets. PG doesn't look like the type of person that's ready to go to war.
Kobe went 6-for-24, but Ron Artest was right there. I don't think Paul will be right there like how Ron was.
Shout out Metal World Peace or Panda's Friend or whatever you call
it. And not to say Ron Artest has a better individual bag, but
everybody who's watching this understands that's not.
I just wanted to make sure, but it's just like going to get.
Who's gonna be there for me? Who gonna hold me down when I need? Who gonna lift me up when I ain't flying how I'm supposed to?
It's only been how many teams have really like? There's only been like what? I think the Lakers went through that one time and lost like one game to Philly, when in 2001, and then like as far as teams that just. So walk through the playoffs like no problem on the way to a chip. It's only
KD
been like,
Warriors, 0-1 Lakers.
Moses Malone, Dr. J.
They went like four, five, and four. Yep. So it's been like what, three teams and like 50 plus NBA champions?
Yeah.
So like you're gonna be in some tough moments. And he is not tough.
Well.
So what about these other coaching positions?
Yeah, so D'Antoni to Philly, it sounds like it's almost
Tyronn Lue's interviewing today though, or tomorrow.
That would be interesting.
Once again, that has kind of shifted as well. Philly, into some people believe that Philly should look closer to Doc. That's Stephen A's words. But
don't listen to Stephen A for basketball advice.
Sheesh. He's going today. I'm like, all right, so wow. I might just give you the rock and go.
I mean,
this might be a mid-range moment. Hey.
No, I mean, they were saying like Doc to potentially, they were saying like maybe like Doc or Sam Cassell.
Rockets. I was like, hold up.
I wouldn't be surprised, bro. Like,
coaching his son again.
People love, I'll say this, like, people love Doc. Like, he is a great person. So he will get whatever. He's either going to be on TV if he wants, or he might just be chilling at the crib if he feels like it. He's going to be good.
I will say this, because we said a lot about Doc, and we really haven't gotten to his flowers. Doc went through a lot with that organization to get them to this
point. Yeah.
Like, he talked about turning them into a winning program. He not only turned them into a winning program, he turned them out of the eye of this embarrassment that was...
the Clippers.
Sterling. And he managed to, I don't know, handle that. Like, he handled that situation properly, appropriately, delicately, like, and then they continue to play good basketball. Yes, they did lose in the playoffs, but they played great basketball. So as much as people say Doc is an overrated guy, Doc does deserve some flowers for being the coach and probably the executive to kind of get that organization on this track to where they could say, we have an opportunity to get a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George, and other names. Like,
nah, he helped change that culture, for sure.
So, I don't know who their next guy is. It's very interesting you said Dave Fizdale. I was not expecting that at all.
Me either. That'd be a lot of pressure for a dude.
It's going to be pressure. Man. There's no coach that can walk into that job with no pressure. There are certain sports teams where, as a head coach, you're going to be under scrutiny. If you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, people are going to be watching you. If you're the manager of the Yankees, people are going to be watching you. If you're the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, people are going to be watching you. There are certain teams, if you're the New York Knicks head coach, you ain't going to have no players, and people are going to watch you.
Facts. Facts.
So it comes with it, because if you're in the moments where you win, you will be known as the guy who won coaching said team.
I don't know who the next guy is.
So of the five positions open right now, this is just interesting.
Indiana, question. Rockets, Clippers, Sixers, and
Thunder's
still open.
And the Pelicans.
Ah.
And the 76ers.
We did talk about that. I said Doc would be great in New Orleans.
I was also going to say reverse. I wouldn't mind Gentry coming to LA. I think he gets a bad rap, man.
Oh, like, yeah, Gentry's a good coach.
I think he's just a very good coach, and he's always just been in rough spots. You got to think, like, that first time AD and them go to the playoffs, like, I think, like, Drew's hurt, and then, dang, they run into the Warriors when nobody thought, like, Golden State was going to be what it was. So, like, then they sweep, they takes, like, 2 years off, they get back to the playoffs. Like, Gentry is a good coach.
He's an offensive mind. Like, he definitely, he's from what everybody says, he's a very player's coach,
mm-hmm.
which I'll be
still
honest,
vocal.
He's still, vocal, still but vocal. I don't know if
it's
he
chill. I know, right? He's on that chill.
Like, I don't know if he's the guy that can come in and look PG and Kawhi in the face, like, yo.
I think Gentry.
This is what y'all need to do.
I can see true. Gentry.
I understand where you're coming from, because I looked at it and I watched like a few like in the huddle moments when he was with the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. The way you talk with them is completely different than the way you would talk to the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got young boys all around. You got guys. Only guy that's really a vet or vets that were in there was
Riddick, Favors,
Drew.
Yeah.
In terms of the guys that were on the court. You dealing with a Josh Hart, Alonzo,
and babies.
Young boys.
Yeah.
So the way he talked with them makes me feel like he could be vocal, and he would just have to change his approach, because he was quite vocal in terms of getting them to play hard and play good basketball.
He coached Steve Nash. Like, he's so, coached adults too.
Yeah, so he could very well turn.
That wouldn't be that would be interesting.
Yeah,
I wouldn't turn interesting my nose is up the word.
I just want to see Gentry interesting is coach
get a good job.
Yeah, because like, man, he's put in the time.
Yeah, I don't know about Fizz, though. You get Fizz that job and it doesn't work out, he's not getting a job for a long time.
Hey, bro, but
I don't feel that good of a coach. I think he's
not getting a job for a long time.
I think he's a worse version of Doc. He would just be louder, which I mean, y'all need, but like,
I think that if any, like, it just, I would like to see if we're talking from moving internally.
You just want a guy that's gonna yell.
I would like, yeah, I just need somebody that's gonna talk, say all the stuff that Kawhi is not gonna yell.
I feel you though.
You just want a coach that's gonna hold the team accountable.
Cause PG's not about to hold anybody accountable. He doesn't hold himself accountable.
PG catching all these.
He is.
He's still not getting
every time we try to switch, it just comes back to PG in some shape or
because
form.
Because he's the core of their failure this year.
I can't tell Leak to stop. He's a fan. So, I mean, like, it isn't like...
Right. Like I said, PG got to go. Lou and Trez got to go in a package deal. Like, and if, like, Marcus Morris helps that package deal, like, it might have to be... But, like, if it were
everybody and their mama got to go.
If it were me, bro, we were literally... It'd be a nice little makeover. I told you the starting lineup I'd love to go into the season with.
Yeah, but I told you, like...
That's not that crazy as far off, like, from a logistics standpoint.
Are you talking about the Embiid one?
Yeah.
It's that crazy. If that's what you're about to bring up right now, we're not spending 15 minutes
on We don't have to, but I would geek if it happened. If they pulled it off, bro.
What happened? I would never question you again on this pod. I would promise you.
I would literally have to come down and just be like, Lee, I don't know how you knew. I don't know what connections you got.
Insider
trade. You the guy.
This Inside is a minor in leak. Like, this is a new...
For like 2 weeks, you got it. Like, you got it.
If that joint happened, like I said, there's enough connections there for it to, in theory, go
down. I thought
down.
He said there's enough connections he had to know this, and I was about to
be
like,
now,
what?
If I knew this, I
we should not be doing
if
this
I knew,
pod
exactly.
in
like,
his living
I
room.
Say, I would, yeah, like, but they're going to need a makeover, though.
That'll be a swindle if I ever seen one.
Last coaching carousel thing. Because we still haven't talked about it.
The NBA Finals, yeah, it's crazy.
No, before we get to the finals, last coaching, because we still have not talked about this coaching hire, Steve Nash.
I love it, man.
You love it?
Shout out Steve Nash.
I love it.
I'm on the fence.
Well, I don't even want to talk on the stupid people that think he got this because of race, because this is not it.
Oh, no, not that.
That wasn't even going
to
be a topic.
I didn't want it to be, yeah.
I'm just on the fence, because it's
why?
Because it's his first time coaching anything. Like, I'm sorry. You've been there. It's one thing to train. It's one thing to be a mentor.
Correct.
It's another thing to sit in the chair.
Correct. Nah, it is.
Like,
it
it's
is
a
for
different
sure.
thing.
But let me ask you this. Bill. Like, yes, it is one thing to train and mentor. But I do feel like Steve has been involved in, like, with what he was doing with the Warriors. I feel like he was involved more than just a training standpoint. And I will also say this, Steve seems like a smart enough guy to know, you know this, a head coach is only as good as what?
His assistants.
I'm at least hoping that whatever he doesn't know, he's going to bring in guys that will let him know, Steve, this is something you haven't been in. You've only maybe seen the situation from a point guard standpoint. This is from a coach's standpoint.
And all I'm saying is we should say the same thing about Jason Kidd.
Only
when Jason Kidd started coaching, we were all like, oh, well, he's gonna get good assistants and he's gonna figure it out.
Jason Kidd also had some questionable person
he did.
Like attributes. So like that wasn't gonna look like it would mesh well with you being a leader of people if you're not a great individual person.
I totally agree with that. I'm always on the fence of especially a first time coach being put into a situation where it is championship or bust. And to top it off, and the fact that you're going into a locker room where at the end of the day, you owe that job to KD and Kyrie. Like, you got that job because of KD and Kyrie. So, at any point in time, they can pull their card. Like, dude, and we're champions, you're not.
Yeah.
I think.
Like, they can pull that card at any point in time.
The stars on the team can always pull that card.
To an extent.
Unless, like, it's like Pop or like Nick Nurse at this point. Or if you're like,
but like
of,
even Nick
it's
Nurse,
like five
like,
coaches.
Kawhi could never pull that card on Nick Nurse. Like, he could never say, Nick Nurse, you're here because of me.
Mo, that's
like, he never could say that.
That's literally what I'm saying, though. It's like five coaches in the league at any given time where they don't have to worry about their star player getting them fired. Whether they're unhappy or not, or whatever the case may be. And I think Steve Nash, while it is championship or bust, as soon as the Nets get going and rocking, one thing that the Nets job can offer that the Clippers can't is actual security within the players that are there because they're signed for maxes and longer. It's not no one and done type of deal. It's not a suicide thing. So I think that was taken into consideration a little bit when Steve Nash is coming. I do personally like the hire. I can't wait to see this offensively.
The KD Kyrie ball screen.
The KD Kyrie ball screen is going to be one of the most entertaining things.
It's
going to
be the most unstoppable basketball action.
It's
going to
be so gorgeous. But I just can't
wait. More unstoppable than Steph?
I don't know if it'll be more unstoppable than Steph or KD.
I'm talking about in the league right
today.
Now.
Yeah. Like next season.
We're not talking about the greatest team ever. We're talking about Kyrie and KD doing the ball screen, but I like the hire personally.
Yeah, I don't mind the hire. I don't mind it.
I'm on the fence with it.
And I understand. I get where you're coming from in terms
of Steve Nash definitely when is a genius.
It's always a risk. It's always some level of risk when you're playing with a rookie coach and a Hall of Fame caliber or a championship caliber team with Hall of Fame caliber players. Like, always. Always, always, always. When you don't bring in that veteran or bring in that experienced guy who's been here for X amount of years, you eyes raise, you know, questions are lofted all the time. I think Steve Nash is the right guy, in part to do what you just said. KD and Kyrie are the major reasons why he got this job. Mm. However, the relationship between KD and Steve Nash, it's an interesting one because that was one of the ones that was built while he was in Golden State.
Weirdly enough.
I know.
You said what?
Weirdly enough.
Yeah,
it was one of the relationships that was built and it was really established, and he felt comfortable with him talking to him, like, and telling him, see this, do this. And yes, that's a trainer's perspective. That's a player development's perspective. If you can build that at any level, it's like me and you.
Yeah.
You've told me things about my game, like, Greg, did you see this? Did you do this? We probably should have did this on the court, and we probably would have been a better situation. I feel comfortable with you telling me that. If you became the coach, even if we played together, the fact that our relationship is on that established place, I'm cool with you.
So Steve Nash is somebody who could tell KD and Kyrie about themselves.
I trust your opinion.
Yeah.
And so I think that's more important in coaches today than anything ever. It's me trusting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more important than X's and O's at a certain level. It's more important than your rotations. Trusting you is what's most important in this league.
So, I guess what this really goes back to is my belief that KD and Kyrie are very emotional. And this is what I mean. Going back to, like I said, that whole idea of creating that relationship. I agree. That is the most important thing as a coach. On the same token, once you step into that chair, and tell me if I'm wrong, Lee, that relationship changes a bit.
It depends. Like, I say the knob definitely does. How good of a job Steve Nash then does will determine, like...
But it also is determined on how players take it. Once you turn that dial up a little bit, and now it's like, oh, no, dude, I'm holding you accountable. It's no longer like you can't talk to me because you're upset because of what Steve Kerr did. It's like, no, you messed up, and now I have to tell you in front of everybody, you messed up. And KD and Kyrie are two guys who are very emotional, who could very easily look at that and go, man, like, what's this? Come on, we used to be cool. Like,
yeah.
Now you in my face. Like,
but also,
I could totally see.
Why did KD and Kyrie just turn into two 16-year-olds?
Because that's how they act sometimes. Let's not act like they don't. We've had whole segments where we literally talk about how KD is emotional. Let's not act like we haven't
done that. Emotional is one thing, Brian.
That's how KD acts, though. He did it with Steve Kerr.
It's still business.
That's what he did with Steve Kerr, though.
And this is a situation where we're looking at two guys go to a place where, yes, both those situations they just left were stained. They have something to prove here that goes further than, I mean, Tamana said it before. It goes further than just saying, like, oh, well, this is just another run-of-the-mill team, and we're just going to try and win all that in the third. They actually have something to prove here on both levels. KD has to prove that he can be a leader, and he isn't as soft as what people say he is. Kyrie has something to prove and say he can play on a team and be a valuable asset on all levels, on all parts of the court, as more than just the offense. And they can actually be adults in the room. That's what they're playing for. So when you do that, and you put, and then you tell me I get the guy that I want in that position to help me do that, I'm not going to soil that situation by getting a little emotional every time he tells me or trying to hold me accountable.
And all I'm saying is we just had this conversation with Paul George. A person is who they are. Sometimes KD is not changing at 32.
But KD's way more mentally tougher than Paul George.
We're not even going to put those two guys in the same category if we're talking about on the court mental toughness. I'm not saying KD and Kyrie won't ball out. I'm saying there could be friction there when Steve Nash tries to hold them accountable.
But this is what I
was saying. What team doesn't have friction? Why are we always afraid? I'm going to let you, my bad.
Yeah,
but why are we always afraid of friction on a basketball court or in the locker room.
Because
there's always been friction.
And friction is one
successful
thing.
Successful teams have won with friction involved.
But we've seen Kyrie literally implode a team because he was upset about how things were being run. KD, like I said, we've literally had entire segments on this pod where we've talked about how KD literally just keeps talking and talking and talking. And guess what? There ain't going to be no Steph. Ain't going to be no Klay. It ain't going to be no Draymond to calm everybody else down in the locker room. It's going to be you. And now you got Kyrie as your wingman who's just as emotional as you. I've said from jump, talented? Yes. Will they ball out? Yes. Are they going to put up 50-point games, especially if KD's healthy? Absolutely. But I could totally see their season being like this. And when they walk into the playoffs, just like the Clippers, we're going to be going, dang, I really don't know which version of them is going to show up that night. Like, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And what I'm saying is, once again, just like I said about the Clippers, we're not going to attribute that to Steve Nash. We got to attribute that to the players not doing what they're supposed to do. Steve Nash is going to put them in the best position. What? And that's why I think Steve Nash is a good hire. I think he, especially on the offensive end, and once again, we don't see where the assistants are and all that. I heard he was trying to get Dirk on the staff. I found that hilarious.
Ooh. That's very hilarious.
To go up to Brooklyn?
Yeah,
he tried to get Dirk to come to Brooklyn. But, he declined, I believe. I think him putting them in a position to win, just off his knowledge, his acumen, and his vibe, his persona, his energy, laid back, able to communicate, knows what needs to happen on the court. He's a leader. He's not in, you said, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was an abrasive leader, different type of leader.
Very much so.
Steve Nash was more so, hey, let's get this done. Very Russell Wilson-esque in my mind.
And that's what I was like, going to go into and like, saying.
So I think that's the difference between Jason Kidd and Steve Nash's situation. Just their personalities alone.
I agree with that.
And they know the game about the same.
I feel like, they know the game equally the same. They see it from, I feel like, maybe slightly two different viewpoints as far as being a point guard. But I think, like you were saying, I think Steve is the perfect, just how he carries himself, just I feel like how he talks to people. Like, you got to think, when Phoenix became so good, was like kind of in a situation where Steve was deemed like too old to actually take Dallas to the next level. Phoenix was taking a shot on giving him the money that they gave him right before that MVP. He, at the time, Amari was still good, but he helped Amari ascend. Facts. He had guys like Quentin Richardson, Leandro Barbosa, Rajah Bell, looking like
Joe Johnson.
You could start them on any team and they could be a role, at least a solid fourth, fifth option for you. You know what I'm saying? So I just think,
give Mike D'Antoni some credit too.
For sure. D'Antoni as well. And I think he's going to take some of that. And Steve played in the actual good D'Antoni office where we're playing extremely fast, but there's actually actions and concepts to this. We're playing real basketball.
That 21 action really showed up.
It was crazy and it's beautiful. And I just wish, I hope that that's what we're going to get in Brooklyn. And that's why I think it will work. I think for maybe in the moments where maybe Kyrie, if he does get a little, like, too many thoughts start going through to his head, I think Steve can talk to him the proper manner and just be like, hey, calm it down. Where I think a guy like Jason Kidd might take it as offense that you're questioning my basketball IQ.
Fact.
Steve would be like, no, let me just show it to you from this manner.
Right. That's the beauty of having a point guard. Go ahead, Tamar, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to combat the whole mental thing because we are talking about two players who have won championships, who do know what it takes to win a championship. I don't think they're going to sabotage their own season due to any mental errors or something like that, or lapses or immaturity, anything like that. I think Steve Nash is going to speak to them in a way where I think Steve Nash can talk to anybody in a way where they receive it extremely well. And as you said before, I brought it up before, they both have invested interest in making this work. So I think it's unfair to bank on the Nets losing being specifically driven upon whether or not KD and Kyrie are mentally there. Because I think they will be.
It's not so much even mentally. Like, I'm not saying like mental. Like, it's so hard to like phrase this the way I want to. It's not me saying they aren't mentally tough. It's not me saying they won't mentally be there. It's not me saying they won't even try. It's me simply saying, like, Steve Nash in his first coaching job is literally going to have to put up with two personalities who have been known to rub teammates. Like, it's almost like going back to the Doc Rivers thing. It's like, is he going to be able to keep a culture in that locker room where they're all able to stay on one path? Like, that's the thing. And for a first-year coach, like, I think that's just going to be a struggle for him. Doesn't mean he can't do it. He could be Steve Kerr. Like, he can walk in that locker room and be a genius and just make it work. I'm just saying, it's a, like, for me, it's like, I'm on the fence. I need to see it. Like, I am. I just need to see it.
That's fair. Needing to see it is
like,
fair.
I just need to see it. I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he will. I just need to see it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'll just say this. I think as basketball goes, we often have the whole, first year, like, I got to see it thing. There are certain people out there that they are students of the game that much. Like, on a smaller level, if you gave us, honestly, I feel like you believe in yourself this much as a coach. If somebody gave you a Division II job, head coaching job, you have to win that said conference.
Give me 2 years.
I think there's
depending on the conference. Give me 2 years.
Yeah.
I stand by
that. And I believe.
And I know I can bring people in that's going to
help
me.
And I believe that you could. So I'll just say, let's look at from now on when these guys get jobs, like, let's just look at them as a person and let's let that. Do their personality traits appear to be somebody? Are they the type of guy? Do you think they'll be prepared enough for that position?
Are you willing to bet on that person? Simply from what you know of them, of that what person, they've shown you.
Can I trust them?
Their characteristics. And Steve Nash hasn't shown me anything where I wouldn't trust him.
Because, like I said, Jason Kidd had some just things he did as a
person. He has some questionable characteristics.
That would make me being like, how are you going to make guys like each other?
Once again, this is not me saying Steve Nash is going to be a bad head coach. Like, if Steve Nash had gotten any other job, I would be like, if he got the Philly job, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's it. Like, that's a perfect job for him. You're going into a situation where it's not technically championship or bust, but you have talent, you have expectations, you can literally work your way up, and you have young players you can mold.
Well, is it more of a Steve Nash thing, or do you think this job with the Brooklyn Nets was just going to be challenging for any coach coming in?
I mean, it's obviously going to be challenging for any coach. Yeah, I feel like it's the most challenging for a first-time coach. Like, if it was Doc Rivers walking into this, granted, I don't think he would be the best person for it, but I'd be like, okay, he at least somewhat is ready to manage this somewhat. Like, any first-time coach, even if it was Steve Kerr, if we could rewind and Steve Kerr was walking into this job, I would be like, that's really tough.
I think one of the things that a benefit of being the first-year coach, and it's not many, especially while you're walking into this type of situation, is the fact that you can't look back on your past coaching experiences.
That's true.
Like, you're not going to imprint one team and then place it on this, because I think Doc did that a lot with that 08 team. He really did. Like, we always joke about the players living out that 08 year. Yeah, Doc, you did it too. With this, Steve Nash is coming in wide-eyed, fresh. We understand his knowledge of the basketball, but he's also not trying to just carry the weight of past failures or past successes.
Right.
This is a clean slate from him. He's going to be learning head coaching on the job as well, taking it from the assistants that he chooses, but also not that pressure of trying to either remake something that he did in the past or avoid something that he did in the past as a head coach as well.
I like that.
That's a glass half full way of looking at it.
I think it's a good hire, and I think next year we'll have Brooklyn and Miami in the conference finals.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We got to get to the finals.
Yeah. Though. Oh, Matt Nett's getting to the finals next year, for sure. As long as we healthy.
I was talking about the Lakers.
Yeah, maybe. Dang, yeah.
Oh, I'm cool with that, too.
Speaking of Miami, speaking of the Lakers, that is our 2020 NBA Finals.
COVID Finals. Yeah,
COVID Invitational.
They will start October 2nd.
Ain't that tomorrow?
Yep.
Today the 30th.
Yeah.
Today the 29th.
So, yeah, they starting on the 30th.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's the first game.
Oh, man.
As of this recording.
See, this is what we got Loud teammates.
Appreciate y'all, man. Yeah,
somebody going
to
get
you covered, man.
Yeah, man.
I always got your weak side help.
Nice with a strong side.
Strong side?
Left side.
Left side, strong side.
Y'all my boys.
But Miami Heat, fifth seed, beats Boston in six. Mm-hmm. Nobody in this room thought they would go into the conference finals. Some people did have some questions if they could beat Golden State. Milwaukee. I'll raise my hand shortly. But it's done. They're going Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley back at it again in the NBA Finals. I love this team. I love them. I know I picked Boston to win. I just love this Miami team, though. They were so impressive. Bam going for 32-14 on the game six. I think Jimmy had 22. Tyler Herro had 19 off the bench. We did not talk about the fact that he had 37.
Game five.
But like, this team is solid, man. So solid. And they're going up against an LA team that is projected to win overwhelmingly. People are saying LA in five. Oh man, sweeps.
Game four, my fault.
Sweeps. I thought it was game four.
It was game four. Tyler Herro, 37, game four.
So, I just want to give some flowers to Miami Heat, man. What do y'all think, man?
Big shout out.
What y'all think about that game six versus Boston?
Man, shout out Bam. We're just gonna start there.
Okay.
We're going to start there. What he did was nothing short of amazing in every aspect of basketball, whether it was deep defending, whether it was going for 30 in a closeout game. I can't say enough good things about him. And then
big man Tyler, who hit his free throws, man.
You said what?
He's a big man who hit his free throws.
And then Tyler, that boy's tough. That boy's ready. Not for finals, but that boy's ready.
That's the best white.
He's ready for a COVID finals.
And I asked this before the pod. I asked this before the pod because this is what I was saying for like the last week. I was like, wow, we've come to the realization that Tyler Herro might be the best white American basketball player in the league right now. Like, it's supposed to be Gordon, but
I'm just gonna look up.
Yeah, I gotta research
just to make sure.
He might just be the best. And I was just like, yo, he's 20. He's 20. That's crazy.
They played so well, man. They played so well. We could talk about this team and their culture and how Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley have kind of built this energy and built this space where they can compete and they have found a way to maximize them as hoopers.
I think. We use the term maximize. I think they allow them to be themselves, and that's what really helps it all. Like Jimmy said, I feel wanted here. Jimmy feels like he could be Jimmy there. You're letting Tyler Herro play like it's Kentucky.
No, like Whitnall, bro. Like he back.
Back in high school.
Yeah, he didn't look like that in Kentucky. Like, he was hooping. Now, don't get me wrong.
Kyle tried to let him go, like, towards, like, the draft. He was like, all right, like, we're gonna get somebody Lotto. But it's everybody... When I look at that Miami Heat team, win, lose, draw, miss or make, everybody looks comfortable.
Right.
And I think that's one of the most important aspects. It seemed like everybody bought in. Every single last person bought in.
Yeah.
I noticed that from when they played Indiana, like just all the way from their how they're moving on a string. And of course, that statement's always going to be five guys moving on the flat of the ball. Between that to just the bench energy, like
right.
I said that from the Indiana series, I was like, yo, these guys are locked in.
Like, it's a business trip. There was one moment, I think it was in game five, because they lost game five, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was game five. The game was over. Udonis Haslam, at a timeout,
he tore into them, and I was like, they're probably going to get that.
Off on them, and I was like, they're going to win this series. They're going to win this series.
But that's what they appreciate. Like, right. When Jimmy's doing that with the Timberwolves, all of a sudden he's a cancer to the locker room. Cat doesn't like him. They got to get him out of there. He ripped Andrew Wiggins' heart out. He's the reason he doesn't play hard. Like, all of this. No, I remember all of the negative comments that came out of that Jimmy. And even when he was with the Sixers, with the coaching situation and the Ben Simmons situation, it seemed like Joel Embiid was the only person who liked him. Now you're in a culture that... Not only wants you to be like this. It's literally
the perfect fit for him.
And in the basketball world, it made you like who you are in terms of basketball. Like it influenced the basketball world so heavily, where that's actually appreciated and wanted. So he's at home.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have impressionable guys like Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo
kicking it up on the energy. Duncan, not only just the
Duncan's
the
not a really a young boy. I mean,
in the league, though.
In the league, young boy. Yeah, yes.
In the league,
yes.
He's a young boy. But
if Jimmy speaks to Duncan, Duncan better listen.
Yes, I agree. But I'm not taking that. I think that's the space for a lot of guys. I think Jimmy could talk. I think Goran can talk. I think Udonis doesn't play a minute can talk. Myles Leonard, I heard him like getting in the ear of Bam and telling him things and encouraging.
Everybody's willing to dish it out and hear it back. Exactly. And I think that's what's really important, because it's just if you're able to reciprocate and everybody's willing to accept that, because it wasn't like that in like I said, in Minnesota. It was kind of like Jimmy barking and everybody else meowing. Like that's not gonna really work. And Jimmy's the type of person where I think when Jimmy talks to you in a certain way, he's giving you the green light to speak back like that if he's ever messing up like that. Yeah. I think Jimmy's willing to say, if I'm going to hold you accountable, you have the full green light to hold me accountable.
Right.
And that kind of leadership is something that's not given enough credit right now.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, it's top down. Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, top down energy for that organization. And I don't know how long this series is with LA, because it's gonna be a tough one. It's gonna be a tough one.
Lakers in six.
Myles Leonard's gonna.
Are we giving our predictions right
Myles
now?
Myles Leonard hasn't played. Derek Jones hasn't played in a while. They're gonna see the floor.
So, if you want to talk about the team that's benefited the most from the bubble,
them,
it's been
Heat.
Miami. Yeah. Like without seed. Hands
I,
down.
I said that on the pod. I was like, they are in theory the two seed.
Like they benefited the most. You know what their most played lineup was in the regular season?
What?
It was Jimmy,
Kendrick,
Bam, Kendrick, Duncan, and Myers Leonard.
Yeah.
How many minutes has that team played in the playoffs?
Probably none. What, that lineup?
That lineup? Yeah. Zero. Zero.
I haven't
Zero.
Seen them on the court together, yeah.
Zero. Think about that. The lineup you played the most in the regular season, you haven't used at all. That shows you how different this team is from where they were in the regular season. And like you said, part of that is because of the culture. Part of that is because they've been put in the bubble and they've locked in. Like, this is a totally different team than what they were in the regular season. From top down, you can see it.
No, we said at the beginning of the bubble, we said the teams that are probably going to make it to the finals are those teams who can stay locked in the longest.
And who love the game the most. And I'll be honest, I was saying that before the bubble started. I was like, this is going to be about who loves the game most out of everybody in the Western Conference. Aside from Denver, the Lakers have loved the game the most, like, as far as how they've carried themselves. Denver, they love the game. They just, them young boys, they, y'all will be back here.
We're not going to say anything bad about Denver. They know what's up.
Like, Toronto, they tried. They just didn't have enough. Philly didn't care about the game.
they just imploded.
Boston, they just got too much stuff going on. Well, I wouldn't even say too much stuff. They're just still young. And honestly, they're young. And then the two guys that they're paying that are older aren't being the older guys that are getting paid.
They were injured.
Yeah, knee bad issues. Timing.
It was once again. It was one of the things you kind of just look at. You're like, we just had another year where it just couldn't go away.
But then, bro, you got to think, like, this is now, like I said, their third year where they've been at least thinking in their mind, we are a conference contending team.
I mean, you were in the conference finals. You were in the conference finals.
Six games. I mean,
this is the furthest you've been in a while.
If anything, you're like, dang, 2018.
Just a couple years. They took Bron to 7.
Yeah, that's right. They did take Bron to 7.
If anything, you're like, we played like a better dude with younger guys, and we play a lesser dude, like a lesser team.
With better guys who are more developed guys.
You would think we don't even get to 7.
I don't even care about getting to 7.
I think that Miami team would have destroyed Cleveland. I'm not going to lie.
You think? That would be very interesting.
I think this Miami team would have destroyed LeBron and that Cleveland team.
I would love to see it, but Bron going off in 2018, I'm not going to take nothing away from him.
Yeah. But it's like, it would have been I feel like amazing, that Miami team would have won.
I'm betting on Bron in the East in 2018. that's how I see it.
But I mean, going into this series, though, that's what I'm very interested to see is like the mind game between LeBron James and Eric Spoelstra / Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Like,
I think this game is going to be we talk about coaching, we talk about system, we talk about all that. This game is going to be predicated on who can get their team in their best position the quickest and sustain that. And hold that. I think that's what this is about. Anything is not LeBron and AD are going to be LeBron and AD, but can you get KCP out of rhythm? Can you get Kuz to kind of fold? Can Bam still get going? Can you find Bam positions to still score even when you got Dwight Howard and AD on the court? Is Can Jimmy turn up? Like, this is going to be, this has a lot to do with the mental aspect. I think this is a 6-game series. I would not be surprised if it goes 7. I would not be surprised if it goes 5. It's not going to be a sweep, though. Yeah. And I do not think any of these games are going to be a blowout.
I don't think any of these games are going to be a blowout either.
You just think it's going to be a sweep?
I don't know, man. I just got this feeling. Like,
what was
maybe,
that?
Maybe it's just the LA fan in me. Like, we're back in the finals. Like, I don't care if it's the bubble, the COVID, whatever you want to call it. We're back in the finals. I'm like,
what if LeBron really fails you?
Wouldn't be the first time.
I'll laugh harder than y'all laughed at.
No, but me, bro. Like, y'all understand the weird dynamic with me personally, you with and Bron and Lakers. Like, if Bron fails me, I'm just like, look, I told y'all. But then, like, if we win, I'm like, yo, shout out Kobe. We're doing it for him. Like, it's no, it's a duality to all of this. And I'm confused. I'm really confused. And I just can't wait till next season so I can root for the Nets. Like, at least until the finals, because we make it back to the finals. It's LA all day, baby. Like, you got to hate your team until they win it. Like, that's how I feel about the Lakers. But I just see, I think what I do, we're looking at the two most locked in teams.
Yeah.
But the one thing I can say, and I'm not going to say Miami wasn't looking at a chip from the very first tip of the very first game of the very, like, of the beginning of the season, like pre-COVID, like outside of the bubble.
Right.
But we all knew that as soon as AD got there, as soon as Bron got there, really, we were like, hey, like, Chip gotta come ASAP. Right. Now that it's here, I hope to God Bron doesn't lose this.
Do you hope he doesn't lose this for his legacy? Or do you hope he doesn't lose this?
I just hope he wouldn't go out like this. Like, I really hope that he wouldn't. I honestly think, like, when we talk about Bron choking, et cetera, et cetera.
What if he doesn't
We think
choke?
About 2011.
All right, if they lose this,
if
it's,
they
it's an automatic
lose this,
choke.
I think, in my opinion, I think
yes.
It is.
It's an automatic choke.
Bro, unless he go 50-15.
I will never call
like,
it an automatic choke. I have to see how you play.
Okay.
Like, if LeBron goes out and puts up, if he does a 2018 where he's putting up 35, it's
I
like,
think we win,
and
though,
AD is the one that chokes.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, like, if that was to happen, if LeBron was putting up 35 and AD was getting 18, it'd be like, all right, Bam is really that dude, and AD is not.
Like if,
that's what
if
we
Bam
walk
just
away saying.
Hands down outplays AD,
I don't even, that doesn't even sound right.
It
exactly
don't.
What
Once
I'm saying.
It's far-fetched, yeah. But if that were to happen,
if you're talking about automatic, yeah, I can
choke.
See what you're saying.
Like that wouldn't be
I'm
a choke
just,
for
I'm
LeBron.
Just playing, like, the percentage thing. And I'm looking at it like, if Bron is Bron and AD's AD, they better win. They better win. There's no excuses. Stay on the court. You better win.
And then it comes down to moments. Who before hit the we, shots? Who showed up? Whatever.
Before we cut the cameras on, we said something about proximity and actually, you know, all that. Y'all said AD being Bam outplaying AD is far-fetched. That's not that far-fetched to me. That's all I'm going to say.
And
no,
when
it's still, not that far-fetched
it's
to
still
me.
Far-fetched.
It's not that far-fetched
by you saying,
to me.
By you
if
saying
we're talking,
outplaying, you're talking on offense and defense. Bam is better than Anthony Davidson. That is
still
just, far-fetched. I'm not ready. I don't think that's going to happen
like,
today.
I'm saying.
Yo, Bam has been great.
I'm going to say if Bam holds his own with AD.
That's not outplaying.
Okay. Oh, that's yeah. Okay, that's it.
That's not outplaying.
Yeah,
holding
outplaying
your own
is
not outplaying.
Yeah.
All right. So
you can hold your own.
I'm talking go hit blow for blow off the ball word for word with him.
Like Jokic held his own, but he was getting
outplayed.
30 dropped on him. Like
Anthony Davis played better than Jokic.
How would
Jokic played phenomenally?
Anthony Davis was better.
Yeah.
Got like 230 balls like, in there,
and
game winner.
And
like,
all right, I'll let it slap.
Here's the thing with Bam, and like I said, this isn't to like try to tear Bam down or anything like that, because Bam has been phenomenal in these playoffs.
Stars born.
He is definitely a star being born. He has raised his stock to a great level. He ain't played no big man like this.
That's
in the
true.
East. Like he ain't seen nothing like this. Daniel Tice, Miles Turner.
Giannis
ain't AD.
But Giannis is a
Giannis is the MVP.
He is, but he ain't AD. I'm sorry. Especially the way AD, like, they're two different styles. And
I always
kept,
have to.
Bam wasn't the one that was on Giannis most of that series, if we want to go back and watch.
Nah, yeah, but guys like that, you guard him as a team, though.
Facts. But once again, like that, but Bam has a score on AD.
My
and then trying to check him. Like, Jay Crowder can't guard AD.
It's not just a one-on-one matchup with Bam and AD, though. Fact. That's what I always have to say. Like, I've been saying this since the beginning of the season with these Laker bigs. There's multiple of them. It's not a Bam versus AD show. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're going to give you AD. We might even try to get you all Bam sometimes just to reserve your energy.
So they're going to throw Dwight in there to mess with Bam a little bit. They're going to try maybe McGee. Depending on how he's playing.
Also, we might even go lower and throw Morris on him for a possession or two. We might switch it up. Like, it's a whole lot of things that can go. And Bron is still one of the better shot rim protectors in the league, one of the better shot blockers. Bam is going to face a whole unit of people that can affect him on the defensive end that he hasn't seen in the East. And then the crazy part is some of those people can still give you work on the offensive end. So it's like, we're about to see him play both sides of the ball in a way he's never played both sides of the ball.
And once again, if he doesn't perform well, this should not be a knock
against
him.
Oh, this ain't a knock against him at all.
It's your first time going against it. We've seen what you can do. Now it's a question of, like I said, you got to take your lumps now. If he doesn't play well, you got to take your lumps, come back next year stronger. Like I said, I have faith in you because I've seen you do it. So, yeah, that's where we're at with Bam. As far as this series goes, like, I was listening to The Ringer earlier, and somebody brought up a very interesting point. The matchup here it's almost the very matchup of the East versus the West. And the idea of the Western Conference is led by superstars. It's one-man teams, two-man teams, and then a bunch of role players. Mm-hmm. And then the Eastern Conference is teams. Everybody plays in a team concept. The ball moves, doesn't stick. And now you literally have this clash where Miami is literally the embodiment of that.
Right.
There is no superstar on Miami. You have three really good players in Jimmy, Bam, Goran. And then you have a bunch of really talented role players. And the Lakers are literally probably two of the top three players in the league.
Yeah. No, you got – I mean, Jimmy is a star.
That's it. He's a star. He's not a superstar.
Yeah. Correct. Okay, oh, yeah. So, yeah, two superstars. Yeah, and then let the record state, because I've been seeing some wild stuff on Twitter. If Miami were to win this, let's not call this like, oh, yeah, looking back on it, Miami was always the better team going into this because – like I was telling y'all, I done seen people with the bronze statement he put out today say that the Mavs were always better than the 2011 Heat. So let's let this series just be whatever it becomes.
Yeah, say no to drugs.
But let the record state that LA is the favorite, correct?
Yes. LA is the favorite. It's been the overwhelming favorite. And that's why I asked about his legacy. If he loses this, is this an automatic notch?
In my mind, yes.
Because he's already making bail, bro. He's already setting up bail just in case Pat Riley gives him one. Like, and
$5, we lose closeout game. He's going to come out there with his hand wrap, ankle wrap, knee wrap. Bubble wrap, something.
He did turn his ankle against Denver.
I know who wants him to win this series more than anything. That's that Bronny James. Yeah. Wow. We know why. Yeah. Y'all know?
What I miss?
Yeah. I don't want to be that. I'll be that show. Nah, Bronny got caught on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He didn't get caught. He snitched on himself. Yeah, exactly. Let's call it what it is.
I thought we were talking about something else.
I'm going to let it rock. Whatever.
I won't go say nothing. I'm like, yo, he's young. He is young.
You can make mistakes. His dad said.
I'll be mad if that was. If he's like, I'm sorry, Dad, for getting caught. Getting caught? You posted it.
You did it.
Man, go get the belt for lying.
The funniest tweet I saw was somebody was like, nah, bro, I'm not even about to spank him. He's just going to make him take 10 charges.
That's child abuse. Yeah. Let's get real. That's child abuse.
Hey, that's sick.
Take 10 charges.
Mind you,
after the fourth one, he was moving a little bit. Nope, you were moving. Blocking. That doesn't count. I'm going to shoot two free throws and we'll get right back to this.
Bron about to miss both them free throws.
Yeah, probably.
Bron to get it worse like that. You know you're not going to make them.
Nah, but that...
Oh, man.
Bron, this is a must win because he is once again in a playoff series where he has the hands down second best dude, like, in this series. A guy who was a all-NBA player. LeBron James has... I'm trying to think. I feel like one of them years... Either 12 or 13. I wouldn't be shocked. I think D-Wade was probably an all-NBA of some sort.
Oh, D-Wade was... D-Wade, when he went to Miami...
Bro, in 2011, he was a top five. He was a top five player.
D-Wade was the third best player in the league.
Yeah.
Kobe was number one. LeBron was two. Wade was third.
So he hasn't...
Yes, LeBron fans, Kobe was better at that point in time.
Yeah, he was.
You don't gotta say you're sorry for that.
I'm not. I didn't apologize.
Oh, I didn't. Know.
But yeah, so Brown once again has another, mind you, Kyrie, when they won in 2016, all NBA talent.
So right now, this is just a scenario where it's like, dude, you need to get it done. And if you don't get it done, what will bite the Lakers in the butt? This will be, they've had 3-4-1s. We're going to see if Bron will stick to how he's been if this series is 2-2.
Yeah, if they have a little adversity.
Yeah, will Bron just be like, actually, if I this, remember when I said that we were going to play through AD offensively? Nah, bro, go stand in the corner. Go stand in the corner.
Because I'll tell you, Bron, I will say this. Anthony Davis, if they win this series, it's because Anthony Davis should get a finals MVP, because that style of play that they're going to need, it is not going to be the Bron switch hunt. Yeah. And I saw that against Denver, and I almost got tired. I was like, ah, so this is how this dude is one less step quicker on the perimeter, but he's still able to get all these blow-bys to the rim. How? And I'm just shocked that the league has allowed, like, defenses to just switch this off. Like, if I'm a coach in this league, like, dude, it's going to be hard. We're playing LeBron James, but we're not switching today. We're not. And you're going to be like, coach, it's hard. It's hard guarding LeBron James to begin with.
It's fair, LeBron.
Fair. But, like, you, at the end of the day, you're going to increase his chances of scoring by, like, 15 to 25% the moment you switch.
No, that was actually, like I said, that was the Warrior strategy every time they play, because they always wanted to switch on for Steph Curry. And the 1 year Steph Curry's knee was hurt, you could see he couldn't hedge hard and get back. So he kept getting stuck on LeBron and Kyrie.
So, yeah. And he's
he got roasted.
He's doing what he should do. And like I said, it'll be interesting the lineups that Miami throws out there, because they could try a lineup of going like Myers, Bam. That way you've got a Jimmy Butler to still be on LeBron. Like, I was always saying, like, yo, I don't know if the world's ready for like Kawhi to match up with LeBron. But I'll say this, like, if anything, like, Jimmy is today, I think, a better on-ball defender than Kawhi, because Kawhi's lost
the lateral. The lateral movement.
Kawhi don't try as hard on defense anymore.
He don't. Not as hard as what he did in Toronto. Not as hard as what he did in 2017. He really mind you, him taking it 2 to 3 notches down is still a better defender than a lot of dudes at their peak. But I'll be real, like, Kawhi definitely he had moments this year where he was like, I'm going to act like I got 2 finals MVPs. Like, he acted like it. But Jimmy, like, I believe, because Jimmy's going to, he be trying his hardest to not score 26 points, and I don't know why. Like, he just won't, and I get it. Like, you believe in your dudes around you, so it's like, if you're not going to.
He be mad passes. He be mad passes.
So I'm like, if you're not going to, like, try and get 30, you need to make sure that other dude you're guarding doesn't.
Yep. Now, that's all I ask for out of stars. That's all I ask for.
Stop it. Stop it.
That's all I ask for out of you, PG.
Stop it.
Nah, we're going to kill PG. Yeah, yeah.
Now, what I will say is, though, the difference between Kawhi and Jimmy is LeBron has no fear of Jimmy. And I'm not saying he necessarily fears Kawhi, but there's a very healthy respect for Kawhi. He has no fear of Jimmy. Like, he looks at Jimmy like, dude, I've been cooking you forever.
As he should look at him.
Like, and that's I don't care what team. You're in. Matter of fact, you're in my old building at my old locker. Like, you're not.
I'm not mad at any of that. I would actually love it if he came out and said it.
Like, I feel like that's how LeBron should definitely be taking this. Like, dude, like, come on, bro.
But, and this is where it's going to be on some very much like the same way people call, like, the Clippers, like, the bullies, and they got popped. Like, Bron, you could carry that energy if you want against Jimmy Butler, but you just need to understand, like, Jimmy might, like, punch you in the chin with his play, and, like, nah, bro, them days is done.
Jimmy might punch him in the chin for real on the sly.
He might. But I'm just saying, like, Bron, you just need to understand, like, what are you going to do those possessions where Jimmy is like, dude, I'm not switching. And if I do, I'm going to let my man's Jay Crowder from Marquette, when we going
to... He's going to kill Jay Crowder.
Oh, I think he will, but I'll say this. Don't sweep so much, because Jay, like... I think he got a hidden vendetta against Bron, because people, I was telling you.
Him and LeBron fell out when he was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But so, Jay Crowder can't move laterally at all.
He can't, but I'll say this. Bron is not the same, like I said, just east to west. Okay. And then the thing about it is, Miami is such a great defensive team that I don't think any guy will ever be by himself against Bron.
That's very true.
They will play the Danny Green closeout game before they let LeBron just get one-on-ones.
That's very true. I agree with that.
If I had to pick... I would much rather just play the closeout game to Danny Green.
Yeah.
I have a better chance of that than letting any man on this earth guard LeBron James one-on-one with no help.
I totally agree.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm actually interested to see how much zone Miami plays.
That's interesting. as much as I was about to be like, ooh, they could bring it out a bunch, I also thought about, I was like, ah, they're going to counter with AD at the high post, JaVale or Dwight at the dunker spot, Brian out there driving gas. So I was like, they might actually do less of it.
Or LeBron at the high post and AD at the dunker spot. I mean,
either way, it's going to be crazy.
It's crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Like, if anything, like, I think it makes them the most deadly with, like I said, because if you put AD in that dunker spot, while yes, it's going to be high percentage, I'm cool, like, being able to potentially just clog. I'll clog that back lineup so AD doesn't give up any lobs. If I had to pick one.
So you're going
to
let LeBron catch it at the high post and go?
So you're saying if what? If I'm Miami?
Like, because that's what I said. You're going to put, I would put LeBron at the high post, AD at the dunker spot. I would have Rondo at the top.
Yeah. Well, either way, with any of those lineups, that's why I'm like, we might see the least amount of zone they've ever done. I think they're going to go to Myers and Bam before they go, because I think they're going to try that zone for like three possessions and a timeout's going to get called.
Fair.
We'll see.
The series, I don't know. I can't say yet who's going to win, but the series will go at least six games. I'm just going Miami in seven. Or no, Miami in six. I don't think they got the shot making to go to seven and win. Okay. So if they do, it's going to be.
That's a personal investment.
Yes, it is.
That's the Clippers loss, and I really don't want to see the Lakers win investment.
That's all that is.
Miami and six.
That's all that was.
I've been hearing him and Manny.
He didn't even say it confidently. Like, he just said it like, please, Miami, please. Yeah, please.
I hope so. That's what that was. What I'm talking about. So you got Miami in six.
I said Lakers six.
Lakers six. Four of them things.
All right.
Four for four. Four games for Bron's fourth ring.
Yes, sir.
Oh, goodness. He still won't be the GOAT.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, man.
Just put it out there. We're talking.
I'll say I'm sorry, LeBron, if you do win, but he's not the GOAT now. Like, he's not. And then he's for sure won't, like, if he doesn't even get this Finals MVP, I'm throwing out, like, if AD gets his Finals MVP, I don't want to hear nobody talk about Shaq's rings, because I'm going to just say this is AD's ring. I'm going to say the same thing.
We're going to have that. You always do that. We're going to have that conversation later.
Also, I never want to hear he'll go down as the greatest Laker ever, because if I ever hear that, I swear.
Yeah. This will turn into the wrong pod. Don't ever say that.
This will turn into the wrong pod.
What? How quickly they forgot.
Man's win an AAU tournament, and he's the greatest Laker.
Hey, y'all, we appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate y'all. Shout out to the homie Daniel St. Surin.
Hey, I was wondering how you said his name. I was reading the comments. And I was
so,
like,
shout out to him. Showing love in the comments, man. We appreciate it. Please leave a comment below. Let us know what y'all think of any moment on the pod. We appreciate all the love and support. We will comment back. One of us will. Yep. One of us will, for sure. So please leave a comment, join the conversation, tell us what y'all think, how y'all feel about certain moments. We'll respond. Be sure to like the video. That helps us get presented to more people. Hit that sub if you haven't. For the people who've subscribed, welcome, family. We love y'all, man. Appreciate y'all. And as always, eat, sleep, breathe the game. We love you. Be safe. And we out.
Going.